My name's Ollie Taylor and I'm here at Gloucestershire Archives with John Davis. And John has brought in a couple of photos from 1981 that he's going to talk to us about. John, we've got a couple of group photos here. If we start with the smaller photo first, who is pictured in this photo and what's the occasion of the photo, please?
Well, the occasion was a big redundancy exercise in Christmas 81. And I think about 57% of the engineering staff were made redundant, so it was a big upheaval. And the idea was that everybody, whether you were redundant or not, received an envelope, and it either said you are redundant or you are not redundant. And this occasion, I think, was when we knew who were going and who weren't. We all look pretty happy here, but I think apart from one person, two people, the rest of us were redundant. And we're all looking reasonably happy. Perhaps we're pleased to be going, I don't know. But immediately after the photograph was taken, we all went up to the canteen and our Christmas lunch as if nothing had happened. And I don't think the reality of it all sort of dawned on us until we probably got home and told our wives or sweethearts or whatever that we hadn't got a job anymore. But so that's the occasion. And I think I can name all but one. There was Steve Price, Frank Kelly, Ken Marshall, Les Hamlin, the lad there I just cannot remember, somebody will, and Tony Dar and myself, looking a bit dishevelled. Then stooping down, we got Mike Forty, Lionel Longley, and Ralph Tucker and Mike Parker were the two who weren't redundant.
And these were all members of the drawing office in 1981?
Yes, yes.
And if we move on to the second photo here, John, there's a slightly different makeup of people. Could you name the characters that appear in this second photo for us, please?
Yes. Roger Good, Steve Price again, Ken Marshall, Frank Kelly, Mike Forty, the gentleman that I can't remember, Les Hamlin and Tony Dar on the end, and then stooping down, Chris Farley, Lionel Longley, myself and Mike Parker.
And you all seem like there's a great area of camaraderie amongst you all, even though it must have been very trying circumstances. What do you remember of working with some of the people that are pictured in these two photos?
Oh, well, I think we're all sort of comrades in arms, as it were, you know. We did what we had to do and helped one another, as the case may be. So it was a difficult time because we knew this redundancy exercise was coming. So we're all a little bit nervous when we arrived at work that day. But with this method of informing you, it was much more clinical and humane than what used to happen, where you got called into an office, told you're redundant, and then said when you go out, send somebody else in. And so that took a long time, and that was awful. But an envelope for everybody at the same time, you could open them in company, or you could take them away and open them in a corner somewhere to find out what your fate was.
And were the redundancies with immediate effect? People cleared their desks and didn't come back?
Yes, you didn't have to come back. There were 10 of us, I think, in the whole department who were asked to come back on a temporary basis to finish the work we were doing. But most of the others, they didn't have to come back. In the old days, you used to have to work a notice out, and it was dreadful because you came to work day after day knowing that, you know, there was a countdown to when you'd finally go. But this was much cleaner. It was much more, much more humane. So 10 of us came back, and one by one, we were all applying for jobs, of course, and one by one, everybody seemed to get fixed up in one place and another, and I think it got to the stage that I was about the only one that was left, still working, still doing various jobs, and then Leslie Spooner, who was technical director at the time, he came out to me one day and he said, "Oh, this is ridiculous." He said, "You've been full-time but temporary for 6 months." And he said, "I'm going to have a word with the MD." See if you can't get reinstated. And the MD decided, yes, you can stay. So there I was for another, from 1982 until 1998. So I took some getting rid of.
And what are the memories of the drawing office, of the people that worked there, of that occasion at Christmas 1981? Do these photos bring back for you, John?
Well, as I say, they were distressing times because it wasn't a matter of just shaking hands to say have a good Christmas. It was like sort of shaking hands saying, "Well, have a good rest of your life." And in a lot of cases, I didn't meet up with these guys. In fact, a couple of them I don't think I ever met again. It was a very, very sad occasion.
And looking at the drawing office itself, the room that you're stood in there, it looks like you've made a bit of an effort to decorate the room with some Christmas decorations. That year in 81, when you knew the redundancies were coming, was it a bit lacklustre the way that you entered into the Christmas celebrations? Did that affect the way that Christmas was celebrated at Fieldings?
I suppose it must have done to some extent, but at least the canteen still put on a lunch. It was Mike Harrison who was the MD at the time. I'd forgotten his name. And I think they actually did introduce some wine. First time ever, I believe, we had a glass of wine with our Christmas lunch. And he was out there dishing it out as if nothing had happened, you know. And there we were. I thought it was like the Last Supper.
And looking out of the windows of the drawing office here, we can see across into some other buildings that are opposite through the windows. What was that building there?
Well, that was the carpet works. And between us at Fieldings and the carpet works, there was what was called the goat track, which was at one time was a railway line that fed part of the docks from the sidings between Fielding and Platt in the wagon works. And that goat track continued out, and the rails went across Lantony Road.
Thank you, John. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about the people or the occasion that's captured in these two photos?
No, apart from... I'm just trying to remember now who I see from time to time. Lionel up until his demise very recently. I've met Tony Dyer a couple of times. Mike Forty, I sometimes see at rugby matches. Chris Farley, very occasionally, but that's about it. Some of them are already or have already died. So that's about it, I think.
It's great that the photo was captured for posterity on that, albeit sad, occasion. Thank you, John.